Welcome to the fourth episode of the Peas in the Podcast, Season 3. Here we discuss trends and provide commentary on media and social justice issues, as well as our own personal life experiences. Please remember to hashtag wear your mask. Today we are discussing all things video games. So this is a new playground for us, in so many words, I guess. So I'm kicking this off, and I'm going to be talking about video games to film adaptations. So we are looking at the topic of video games today, and I thought long and hard about my relationship to video games. My first game, and the first game that of course comes to mind for me, is Roller Coaster Tycoon, which is like elite gaming experience for me. Low risk, pretty chill, and you can drown people that leave bad reviews on your park. But I decided to look at the sort of fusion of things that I love, and I'm going to be exploring the ever-popular experience of converting video games into movies. Some of you may say, but Daphne, this is a lost cause, but no, I don't think so. I think video game players and moviegoers are cut from the same cloth. We just haven't found a happy medium yet. Over the years, video game graphics are damn near movie quality. And if they aren't, gamers for sure let you know it. Sonic the Hedgehog tried to get away with some shit by giving crappy 1992 graphics, and fans were not pleased. That movie release, they got pushed back by a whole, like, year. So, I've been reading a few articles on why videos just don't work as adaptations, and one listicle laid out quite plainly. These are the reasons. There's a lack of understanding for the source material, poor casting, bad directors, and a lack of respect for video games. In another article, they dig deeper into something I believe rings true for book lovers as does games. There's a lack of material available. With games ranging from 7 to 9 hours, cramming an adventure story into 2 hours feels like being cheated. Pacing is everything, people. When I reflect on the story of the Marvel, Mortal Kombat, Angry Birds stories.
Angry Birds. I forgot that got turned into a movie or three.
And a television show.
And a TV show. Oh, I love Angry Birds.
I've never watched it.
No.
Well, I find that these stories hold truth to the characters, but they don't hold truth to the stories on their own. And I mean, if you don't play the game or read the comic, why the hell would you want to see the live action version of Halo? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So filmmakers walk a delicate line of building a story around beloved characters. And the safest thing to do is, well, go rogue. And that's why games to movies fail. And they fail hard. For me, in my dream world of adaptations, stay true to the game's diverse characters, care more about pacing rather than the action, and I'm going to avert for a second because it needs to be said. Video games are largely choose-your-own-adventure stories, and movies are the chosen adventure. Give the people a well-paced story, not a goulash of hogwash. And lastly, it's okay to just leave video games alone instead of trying to make a buck. We don't need the Monopoly movie. We don't need the Emoji Theater production. Mortal Kombat is on its way to theaters or homes. Now, did I love the 95 Mortal Kombat with no context? Hell yeah! But here we are in 2021. Show me good pacing and develop storytelling. Games are more than the visuals. It's about choosing your own adventure, and Hollywood needs more directors who value the game. Also, check out Justin and Micah's podcast for their thoughts on videos to films and Mortal Kombat. I added the link at the bottom. So let me get into my questions with y'all. What's your worst game-to-film adaptation?
I wish I knew this was going to be your first question because I would have made a list. off the top of my head, because all of the Game Boy ones, for the most part, were terrible, but Aragon.
Ooh.
Aragon was this movie about dragons, and like they had made this Final Fantasy-esque type of RPG game, and I just remember the graphics looking terrible. Even as a kid, I was thinking, like, because, like, you know, usually when you play old video games, when you're playing the game as a kid, right, the graphics look so nice and wonderful, and then when you go back to it as an adult, you're like, what the hell was this? Yeah,
that's
even as a kid, I was like, what the hell was this? This doesn't make no damn sense. I paid $30 for that.
God damn.
Probably more.
No, that 95 Mortal Kombat movie, seeing it as a kid, it was like the graphics were fucking elite. Seeing it now, you're like, I could have made this shit on Microsoft Paint.
I could have made it off my phone. Yeah, like,
Star, you got a bad gain to fill meditation? Because I know mine.
I
And
was
it hurts
thinking
to admit
about
this
it.
now.
I was thinking about it, and I don't know because I didn't grow up playing lots of video games. Like, I got my PS2 when I was maybe in 9th or 10th grade. And prior to that, I hadn't had my own gaming console. My sister's ex-fiance had a Dreamcast, a Sega Dreamcast, that he would always bring when they came to visit, and I would spend hours playing Crazy Taxi. If they had made a Crazy Taxi movie, I would have been super into that. But yeah, I don't know if I have a the le does the Lego movie count? The Lego movie doesn't really count
I feel like
because
that's more, so that's less video game as much
right.
as it's like actual
Toys.
physical
Yeah.
game. It's like Jumanji, you know?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if I have one.
I think for me, and I hate to admit this, but the Mario movie. The
Well, I think I remember that being
Mario,
really bad.
the
I haven't seen
Mario
it.
Luigi adaptation, that, oh, you could go watch it. I feel like they just found two white men, put them in overalls, and was like, this will be enough, you know? And it's just like, I remember seeing that movie as a kid, and I was just so excited because I was like, oh yeah, like I play Yoshi, like I play Mario. And so seeing it, I was like, now I'm gonna learn more about these characters. But it was really just like, what is the point of this movie? I don't know what's happening here. Like, literally, I couldn't tell you shit about what that movie is about. Other than the fact that in like the first like 2 or 3 minutes of the film, Mario and Luigi pop up on a New York street corner, and you're like, wow, they're plumbers. They came out the sewers. Cool. It's like, well, okay. So, do y'all play games for its closeness to reality or for the escape from naturalism? So, we're talking about the realism versus escapism.
That's my entire topic, kind of.
Well, what juice is it?
Escapism. But then there was lots of realism too, which I'll talk about later too. So, kind of both. It depends on the game.
I feel like the first time I saw like someone playing Assassin's Creed, I was like, I am wildly intrigued by this, but I still feel like I'm not connected to this. Like,
Yeah.
I want it, and like it's crazy because you see gamers now and you're like, yo, is it really necessary to have all these graphics? Because I'm like, from Grand Theft Auto, like number one,
No.
niggas was looking like squares. I was like, and it was still a fun time. But like now you realize that like it's about the immersion of it and feeling like you are on your own choose your adventure story. And I think like for me though, I'm very much attracted to games where I don't feel like any kind of human connection to. Like that's why I love Roller Coaster Tycoon. I don't feel any kind of human connection to it. I don't have any long-winded like story montages about it or nothing like that. And I'm just like, this is why I'm here, because I'm only gonna do this for like the next 30 to 45 minutes, and then I'm gonna go on my day. Some people be invested in the story. They're like, this level means this, and then I gotta. I think somebody was talking about it, and it was like, in one of the video games, it's more about the moments where you get to like cut into the bar, and go into this like secret scene, and it has nothing to do with winning the game. It has nothing to do with the game. It's just the simple fact that it helps with like feeling like you're a part of the decision and pacing it well. But Jameer, do you play games for the realism or for the escapism?
I think it depends on the game. So, like, for people, like, when I think of realism, right, I think of, like, The Sims. I think of,
Ooh,
what is the name of that
Tamagotchis.
game? The game that everyone is playing now on Switch. And you have your own
Animal
island.
Crossing. Animal
Animal Crossing.
Crossing.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, like, I was supposed to get that game, but then I remember every time I've ever played those real life sim games, I get annoyed eventually. And I don't got the
What?
time. Yeah, I don't got the time. But I do love, I love the idea of, I play a lot of RPGs. I love the idea of going on adventures. I love the idea of building relationships with people and conquering nations. I love the idea of exploring new regions and finding new animals, new Pokemon, new. I love exploring and stuff like that in games, and going in
So what do you
dungeons
think?
and like. I feel definitely more escape.
So like what do you think of games where they're literally connected to the internet? So it's like you're playing Call of Duty and you have a team of strangers, you know? Cuz I feel
I
like
love. Yeah, I
cuz
didn't play
like
those
I
games growing up.
loved I really am not like into that. I'm like my gaming experience is my own. I don't want to play with, like, for me, I'm like, if I'm gonna play a game like that, I want to be at laser tag with like real life
Friends.
humans, you
Well,
know?
your friends, yeah.
Not like some 12-year-old in fucking Bangladesh yelling at me or
At
some
home,
shit,
you and
you
there.
know? Right? Yo, when I be hearing this shit, whenever I hear like the clips of people being like, this the shit I get called
So
playing the game, and
funny.
I'm like, what? Nah, I'm good.
Be there.
I come from the like Sega Genesis, Nintendo 64 era, like
I wouldn't even know
blowing
how to
the game
respond to something
cartridge
like
and
that.
mind your fucking business.
I read somewhere, one of our friends, he shared an article that was like blowing game cartridges don't actually work. And I'm like, say it
It
ain't
damn sure don't.
so. I'm like, it worked for me. You blow it,
Listen,
maybe add
it
a
was
little
a different
alcohol in.
time. We lived in a different time. People want to be all fancy schmancy. I'm like, no. I put alcohol on my CD disc. I blew in my game
What?
cartridges.
Oh, you didn't do that, Lara?
No, we
if your
didn't.
shit has scratches, you better rub that bitch with alcohol, and it
No.
played real smooth.
Whoa.
It did. I had this
Huh.
one scratch brandy CD. Throw a little alcohol on it.
Yo, played like new. I don't know why. I don't know how. I didn't question the gods when they told me. I just knew. You gotta rub some
Yeah,
alcohol on
my
it.
cousin was like, you got alcohol wipes? I'm like,
That's it. That was
I'm like, yes, we do.
it. All right, so my last question. What traits do you think would make for a good game to film? I gave some of mine, so what do y'all think would intrigue you to watch a transition?
So, when I think of the best games to film, that series is probably Star Wars. Matter of fact,
Ooh.
no, that's wrong.
Yeah,
That's
'cause
wrong.
wait,
that's
the
film the
what?
that's film the game.
Yeah,
I said wrong.
there's. I was gonna say there are so many Star Wars games.
The thing
No,
is,
he was saying
yeah, I said it
like
backwards.
yeah.
Oh.
He was talking about films coming into games, but like if they
Like,
had to make like my example, if they had to make the Monopoly movie, what is something that needs to be a selling point for you?
well, all right, I'll tell you why I like the Star Wars games so much. So, especially the main series games, the graphics are amazing. They didn't skimp on them. So even if they made a game in relation to a movie, even if they made a game like, oh, a movie's coming out, let's have a game rush. Like the
As
Star
much
Wars
money as
Battlefront
Disney
games,
got, that
Battlefront 2.
better be a good goddamn
Even
graphics.
before, no, there's some terrible Disney games. Terrible. The ones that usually come out right with the movie, those are always
Not Kingdom Hearts,
bad.
though.
Kingdom Hearts is a little different though, because that's
Kingdom
still by
Hearts hard as
like Square
fuck.
Enix. And that's
Kingdom
still by
Hearts
Square
has
Enix.
taken many a soul.
Yes, it has taken many a soul and given many a friend and started many a friendships. But
Sure
yeah, like
did.
with those Star Wars games, there's like actual love and energy put into it. Like the combat systems are very the combat systems in the movies is very intricate, right? So on the games it is too. You're not just gonna win the game by hitting square. You're not just gonna win the game by using a force push. It actually forces you to think, and it actually forces you to like, log in some hours, log in some time.
Yeah.
You know what game I would really
I
be
don't know if I
excited
have
to
one.
see?
the Temple Run?
No. No. Cuphead? Have you ever played that?
Game?
Yo,
it's
that
hard.
Shit's hard as fuck. Bro, so the first time I ever like played Cuphead, I saw the graphics and I was like, oh wow, this is so cute. Like, you know, I'm thinking I'm walking in my regular Roller Coaster Tycoon type shit. And this game, I could not get off of fucking level one. I was like, yo, what the fuck,
you know, Cuphead,
man?
Cuphead is hard for actual games.
Cuphead is hard as shit. But, like, for me, I'm like, if I see a Cuphead adaptation movie, I want to see some real-life hard gangster shit. Like, I will watch a whole cartoon on that bitch just to be like, how they gonna get out of this?
Yeah, that game is hard.
Yeah. I like, man, it's that's one of those games that I'm like, I'll put my money to. I'll definitely put my money to. Waystar, you don't have any traits? A little something that like it would intrigue you. Well, what games do you play?
Oh, I play Fortnite. I play Assassin's Creed. I play...
No Fortnite movie? Okay, what would be a good Fortnite movie for you?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Is it...
What needs to happen
is... it like...
is, I don't know. I don't... They gotta have a good... I don't know. I have no idea. But I will say that one of my favorite parts of... Was it Infinity War or Endgame? Was when they go and
Gauntlet,
they find Thor, and he's like in his hut with David, if you're listening to this in a week, I know you're screaming at me the names of all the guys in the room and I cannot remember. One of them's played by Taika Waititi, and the other one is played by Dave Bautista. Yeah, Korg. And they're all like in there, like
Cork.
Yeah. Like playing Fortnite, and like they're on the headset with the other people, like the other
kids. He directed that
one. He did. So yeah, it's I loved seeing that moment because I was like, oh my gosh, like I understand these references because I play Fortnite. But yeah, I don't know what would have to happen in a good Fortnite movie. The graphics would have to be like way on point because Fortnite is a beautiful game. Like it's just,
I've never played Fortnite.
The effects would have to look...
I've never played Fortnite.
And what about Fortnite when you start building the houses?
Mm-hmm.
I see people play it on YouTube, and I'm like, they start building houses.
You start, you build a fort.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's why it's called Fortnite, because you can build a fort to shield yourself from people shooting at you. Oh my gosh, y'all, we gotta play trios. I'll carry the team, don't worry.
Again? Wow.
Sorry,
Star said I got the team on my back.
My kids would love you. They play Fortnite, Rocket League.
Oh, Rocket League. I've never played Rocket League.
And then they always start explaining it to me, like, yeah, Mr. C, you really need to play. I'm like, y'all don't want to see me play this little game. Y'all want to see me play this game.
See, I feel like the go-to with, like, certain games, it's always just, like, throw a hot person in there, but, like, the actor is unknown. And we're like,
right.
Who the fuck is this man?
Right. And
oh,
then
it's
it
a
becomes
random
uninteresting.
White dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, I don't understand the point of this story. It's just a bunch of bad haircuts, out of shape people, and occasionally Tom Cruise. But I'm going to pass.
I think so. That is so true. And, like, the new actor that they throw in is never actually talented. Either the actor isn't talented, or they just aren't directed well. Oh my God, is that a robot?
Listen, in the listicle of things, the cast and the director and the writing team will kill an adaptation with haste.
They really will. And then a lot of times the actor will get people only talk about the actor, but like, no. They sat and watched this scene happen.
But okay, last question then. How upset would y'all be if they cast Michael B. Jordan in a Fortnite movie?
Not upset. Because there's one of the skins is...
Well,
this
he can't
black...
act, so that would be on brand.
You...
Anyway, passing this along to Jameer for his
back
segment.
Immediately.
I will not.
I'm Black Superman, but okay.
I will fucking not. Passing this on to Jameer.
So for the music that I've been listening to, I haven't been listening to any Michael B. Jordan because I don't know if he makes music or not. But I have been listening to I think her name is Coi Leray or Coi Leroy,
ooh,
whatever.
Yeah.
I think
Let's
Benzino's
go.
Daughter. She has the song "No More Parties" and that song is a bop. Now I can't tell you what the hell she's saying, but I'll be vibing out. So that's
it's
really
like
all that matters.
Track.
You're like, I can't tell you
SZA,
what she's saying, but that's my
Walker.
that's my girl
the
right
mumble
there.
Mumble mistresses, you know.
And yeah, and also for the folks that have us on Instagram, I have been listening to a lot of those canceled artists. So yes, Azalea has been on repeat. The same with Kanye and Chris Brown. I'm sorry. They be making bops.
Yo, I'm sorry, but that Slime and B album is always gonna be in the rotation.
Yo, especially Go Crazy. Like the whole album, but especially Go Crazy.
City Girls.
Oh no, City Girls is my favorite one.
City Girls? I ain't trying. Man. Like, listen. Listen.
I be singing and dancing on my way to the train.
Bruh.
Like Dorothy on a yellow brick road. Like, I know them people be looking at me like I'm crazy. But yeah,
I'd be like,
this
wow,
has been
this
has been a really odd week, I guess. I usually listen through like the same few artists throughout the week because I have like this playlist. It's called Lost in Translations. It's all about songs talking about love and stuff like that. Like, you know, sometimes love is lost in translation. But yeah, if we really want to get into it, sometimes I switch from that playlist to my main gospel playlist and I just throw it on shuffle. I've been recently, so when I listen to the gospel playlist, I'm like, yo, the first song is the one that matters the most. So I'm like, all right, what type of vibe I'm trying to go with this week? I usually start with Dorinda Clark's song, I'm Here. It's a classic gospel song. If you ask your mama, your grandma, she probably know by heart. Dorinda is one of my favorite vocalists. She's from the Clark Sisters. I've also been listening to a lot of James Arthur. Back in the day, I had this phase. My brother and I, we would watch X Factor UK, The Voice UK. We would watch them all on like YouTube, but like the entire series, the entire season. Sometimes we watch the U.S. version too, but mainly the British ones. Them British people do not be singing like that.
They can't sing. They can sing.
And so it's either like it's either they're really really good or they're really really bad. It's no in between. At least in America, we'd be having average.
We could fake
people.
It.
Like, it'd be average people coasting. But them British people, either they really, really good or they really, really bad. But yeah, I fell back in love with his voice after watching this compilation of singers performing that song, Driver's License. You know, Daphne's favorite song.
You better not put this shit on me.
But,
that song. That's what
yeah,
I...
To end this song off, my Apple Music, they have this...
I'm taking down Driver's License and Michael B. Jordan this episode, y'all.
Okay.
I don't give a shit.
Look, he's coming for everybody.
Basic.
There was this Apple Music, they have like a new jams playlist that they update every week based on your listening choices. And these two songs are... one is called Back in Blood by Pooch Aisty featuring Lil Durk. Yeah, I'll be listening to like my hood music sometime. Y'all know the vibes. It's really, that song probably came on my playlist because of my kids. My kids, they always give me all this trap and drill music to listen to. Yeah, Mr. C, you said you like to rap. So that means that you got to listen to this and you got to listen to that. So they the reason that Pooh Shiesty ended up on that playlist. I don't listen to music like that. But another one is called Clear My Mind by D. Gotti. These songs were recommended to me by Apple Music. And, yo, as of right now, Apple Music hasn't been missing at all. And with that, we're about to jump in the star section.
All right, y'all. We're going to talk about Fortnite, my favorite video game. So, as I was typing these notes the other day, I was waiting for the battle bus to load up and ship out because I'm an expert multitasker. My first time playing Fortnite, I didn't know what a battle royale was or what it meant to shield
Love
up.
Love that movie.
It's a little different in this context.
I don't give a shit.
I've never seen the movie Battle Royale, but yes, it
apparently
what? Is it Matt Damon or is it Ben Affleck?
Fuck no. I mean, Matt Damon did play an Asian man in that movie, but talking about the wrong Asian movie. Battle Royale is the Japanese Hunger Games, but like, well done. It's so a bunch of kids basically get put on this island, and the whole theme is that this happens every whatever. And okay. Only one
that
nigga can make it off
mess.
The island. Only one nigga can make it off the island.
That movie is a mess.
No, that movie's fucking great. That is an enjoyable movie, man.
It used to be on Netflix.
They probably had to take it off because little kids would probably find it or something. Watch that movie.
See,
that
try to shoot each other.
But shoot. Stabbed. Shit. What you can find is going to make it do what it do.
Oh, boy. So, anyway, I didn't know what any of these things meant. Battle Royale, Shield Up, Running from the Storm. They were all foreign concepts to me. David's then 14-year-old stepson had downloaded Fortnite, and in an effort to keep up with the youth, David started playing. And then I, in an effort to keep to appear cool as I was taking a job at a high school, I decided to play it as well. And I was so bad. I'm still not great, but last week I won a very impressive match, and I fist pumped so hard that I hurt my shoulder. And we can actually
wait.
We'll put
she
the
said
clip
she
up.
Was gonna carry the team, Jameer. She said she was gonna carry the team on her back. She about to get us lit up.
No, it'll be great. We'll put the clip of my win on the on Instagram because it's really good, and I put it on my Facebook, and everyone was like, "Yo, it's really good." I'm like, "Yeah, it's awesome."
The murderer.
Like,
she's a murderer.
David was like, "Yo," he wasn't here. I had to like clip it, or he was asleep actually. And then I did it, and I was like, this is great. Anyway, over the last few years of playing video games, I totally have started to understand why controllers get broken or why people swear so much when they play, especially combat games. There's a certain level of satisfaction that comes from winning or finishing a video game. And for someone who doesn't complete projects, I love the finality of finishing a playthrough of a story-based game. What I don't love is dying early in a Fortnite match and then having someone taunt me via an emote because I just know it's a bratty 14-year-old white boy thinking he's hot shit. Or it's David when he gets a battle royale and he throws up the F key to taunt the person that he murked.
Another bratty 14-year-old white man.
Precisely.
David's just the older version of that 14-year-old white boy.
Evolve.
Yeah.
Evolution.
The other thing that really stuck out to me when I started playing Fortnite was the dances. Everyone was doing them. Tiny kids were taking the internet by storm, doing their cute little Fortnite dance. They were like, you know, the floss and the shoot and Orange Justice and all of these things that seemingly sprung up from Fortnite, right? My high schoolers held a Fortnite dance competition for the little kids at our annual Halloween festival. The dances became a meme, and there was even a lawsuit about them. Chance the Rapper tweeted one day about how all the artists whose dances had been stolen by Epic Games should be compensated in some way. And then some artists got together and sued Epic Games. And
there was
a lot
doing a Millie Rock.
Millie Rock.
Why the hell was kids? Why was kids in Lancaster Millie rocking on any block?
Yeah, because them songs came out before they was even like a thought lot of kids was even thought of, and it's corny because a lot of those one-hit wonder rappers are broke now.
Could have made bank.
Like Fortnite should have been cutting checks.
Exactly.
It's the same way the girl who made On Fleek should have been getting paid.
Because
a lot of these white companies. On a social medias and Twitter, they was gladly, our burgers are on Fleek. Our this is that on Fleek. And I'm like, y'all making all this money. Y'all making all of this shit.
Right.
Ain't no black people getting paid.
Exactly. There's so much to unpack here, and I was doing some digging, and ultimately these cases were either thrown out or put on pause. And that update I found from summer of 2019. So it had been a full year from the time the lawsuit started to that moment. But that's a different conversation. We can talk all about intellectual property another day when I've done more research on it. But another thing, we'll talk about it. Cause I think there's something there for a lot of things, right? Like movies, music, dance, games.
I remember this.
TikTok.
I remember this.
I think we should. Did we talk about Renegade last season?
No. But we probably
could. We got hot, but it was not a topic.
Yeah.
There's Renegade. We'll put a pin in that. There's the Fortnite stealing dances. There's the On Fleeks. There is
even the Salento, even though he's in jail
the whole taking African American English and calling it Generation Z's lingo and bullshit.
We're gonna have an episode.
In 2021, y'all gonna stop playing with my fucking people. We running the checks, or we running the fade. That's it.
Oh boy.
Period.
One off shit.
Period.
Another thing I love about Fortnite, I'm just rolling past that, is that it provides a certain amount of millennial escapism for me. The skins are fun that you can put your characters in. I won the match the other week. I won with the disco girl, and she's black with like a cute little pixie, like curly pixie cut. And David commented, he was like, "I'm really glad you won with the black girl. It's the last day of Black History Month," or something like that. And I was like, "Thank you."
Star was trying to have Black History Month canceled early, but look at God.
Put me in my place. Always. The map changes. So the battle map changes every time there's a new season that comes out. So there's a season that comes out, and then within the season there are chapters. And every time there's a new season, the map shifts. So there are places on the map that don't even exist from the first time Fortnite came out to whatever season we're in now. And this past week, they released an emote called Shanty for a Squad, which is a take on the popular sea shanty trend that's happening on TikTok. We're going to put that on the Instagram story, probably, and in the comments. So, you know, the sea shanty, I can't say it.
Say that five times fast.
I can't. Sea shanty trend that's happening. It's so cute. This emote is adorable, and the idea is that you and your squad all buy the emote, and then you line up, and you can, like, do it together, and you get, like, an instrument, you get, like, a little drum. It's really cute. I really like it, and I was like, "David, can I please buy it?" And he was like, "Yeah, go ahead." But I don't have a squad, so it's just me doing it all the time. It's really sad. Anyway, the last thing I love about Fortnite is, well, in video games in general, I love that video games have a reach that spans generations. So, a couple of questions. Number one, do we like the trend of games pulling in real life things to appeal to all ages?
Not when black people ain't getting paid.
Yeah, like... I think if they would have been paying the black people for, like, their intellectual property and stuff, yeah, I would have been able to accept it a little more.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
in general, them bringing things from the real world, I don't have a problem with that. Like, Persona 5, you play, like, parts of the game, you're in high school. And, like, you have to answer tests and quizzes about history and math. And, like, stuff like that is cool, like, bringing real world stuff into games. But, like, why would they bring in someone else's property?
I think it's cool to know your audience, but, like, credit where credit is due.
Do we think that games will keep evolving as human brains evolve after a year of us sitting on our couches? Like, what do we think this next year and a half of video games is going to look like?
Yes, it better not be DLC.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I said it better not be DLCs. So this year, a lot of major games have been just, instead of coming up with, like, new material, like, new games, games have just been prolonging games that have already been released. So I come out with, "Oh, yeah, this is new DLC for this game. The Island DLC. The Mountain DLC. The da-da-da DLC." And the problem with that is, like,
all the people who created the game are in COVID right now. Because, like, new movies ain't coming out on Netflix every day, bro. Those shits were already on the waiting list.
Yep.
For sure. But that DLC was already planned in advance.
Yeah, but, like, now that's really all they have. It's just, like I'm saying, that's the same with Netflix.
Like,
niggas couldn't create other stuff.
I wouldn't have a problem with the DLC, right, if the DLC wasn't half the cost of the actual game. The game will be $60, and it'll come out with $30 DLC. That's crazy.
You mad about the extension packs? You gonna yell at Cards Against Humanity because they saw an opportunity to be capitalistic? That ain't right. That was
not
still labor.
Not if it's half the cost of the actual game.
That was still labor.
The labor ain't going towards the people.
Oh boy. Okay. Now, Well,
you see,
we can rant about capitalism.
See, this the shit. This the shit.
Okay. Last question. What trends are you hoping to see in the future from video games?
Ooh. I don't know if you guys have heard of Cyberpunk.
In order for it to be compatible with my freaking laptop, because my little Mac sure enough can't take goddamn one fucking gig of anything. Be like, how much RAM this got?
Okay.
Yeah, I think I really want a game that's like Cyberpunk. What is it, 2077? The problem is they rushed that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And like it had like all these issues and stuff. So I would really want like a completed version of that game to play on my PlayStation 4, where like all of the bugs are fixed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think for me what was a highlight was Planet Coaster. So the people who made Roller Coaster Tycoon, they ended up selling it. The people they sold it to kind of turned it to shit. And so they were like, all right, y'all fucked that up. We're going to just make our own shit again. And then they made Planet Coaster. And it's, like, way more, like, legit. It's very realistic. Whereas, like, Roller Coaster Tycoon, all the other editions, are very much like you're playing God. Mm. Where this one, you're still playing God, but it's like, I'm here. I walk amongst y'all.
My brother.
So I think, right. I think for me, with, like, games, I do like hearing the story. I like seeing, like, a tale. I like knowing why I'm going on the adventure journey. But I'm also very much somebody who's very cognizant of my time within video games. So, like, I don't want to have too much of a long story or something. I want to get right to the action, play the thing for, like, the 30 or 40 minutes, and then go about my day.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like, oh, I have to follow this story to know why the fuck I need to go get the gauntlet or some other goofy shit.
Yeah.
I hate when people do that too, when they be like playing the shit and they just skip through the story and I'm like, no, no, no.
No, you gotta.
You're gonna miss something.
Yeah.
You're gonna miss something.
Gotta read it. All right, that's all for me. So I'm going to pass it off to Daphne.
Okay, so in today's segment of Did You Know? I just thought this the funniest piece of Did You Know information. So female frog lungs are basically noise-canceling headphones, but for like annoying non-possible mates. Due to the cacophony of sounds during mating season from other frogs, female frogs have a mechanism that muffles the sound of unwanted male partners. The Atlantic article, so aptly titled Female Frogs Tune Out Useless Noisy Males, dissects the bizarre study of their... It dissects the bizarre study of their behavior to find a mate. And all I have to say is, if these frogs can ignore non-maters to find their 6-foot, handsome, wealthy, and can cook king through evolution,
boy,
why are y'all harassing women for trying to do the same on Twitter? And that is all I'll leave y'all with. Passing this off to Jameer for his segment. Bow.
Okay.
Hopefully we get to our evolutionary promised land where we can also tune out men that don't meet our criteria.
Like, you know, okay. Like, that's what it's going to say. Like, oh, that kind of turned my head.
Wait a minute.
So it's the 25th anniversary of the Pokemon franchise.
Oh, my God.
I've been playing Pokemon games for almost 20 years now. Have been watching the anime since I was born. When I was in daycare, my mom had gotten my brother and I these matching Pikachu pillows. I already started reading a little before kindergarten, but it was in playing Pokemon games that I learned to improve my reading. So, like, in the Pokemon games, those games were not made for 5 and 6 year olds to sound out them words. So, for cities like Sootopolis, the name changed to Suploop. That's what my 6-year-old brain had to turn it to. Well, look, last week... In the new Pokemon Direct, they introduced the Diamond and Pearl remix, and y'all, I'm very excited. But now that the intro is done, I just really wanted to get into how some. Well, first, I have favorite kids. I'm not gonna lie, but yeah, get into how some of my favorite kids are playing Pokemon now. They've been playing since they were children, like I was, and they were antsy in class, hoping that they would get the chance to see the Nintendo Direct. But we did have some work to do. While we were working on our school news assignments, I was getting so many messages on Zoom about the announcements and about how they wanted to play me in video games or start an anime club or a Nintendo club, and it just made me think of all the awesome teachers that I've been blessed to have. I've had some amazing white teachers. Some, like, you know, some I'm so close to, I actually call them my cousins. But the black ones...
Ooh, that's bold.
Yeah, like, my white teachers, I call them my cousins. But yeah, the black ones, I remember each and every ounce of love that they poured into all of us. And I... Really, yeah, it's so dope that I get a chance to be that for my kids now. I get to be the cool teacher who was young and happening. The teacher that they see themselves in. And during advisory, I can't tell you how many messages I get about games and anime and everything else. I can't tell you how it feels to talk with them and share positive quotes. Sometimes even funny videos. I get to see I get to see so much of myself in them. And it's cool. Like this one kid, he emailed me at 10:35 p.m. on a Saturday because my co-teacher didn't input his extra credit in. Why was that me as a kid?
Of course it was.
Honestly, why is that?
One of y'all
now?
Gonna answer me.
Yeah,
like, y'all gonna answer
like,
me.
Excuse me, professor. You said, per my last email. Like, yo, that.
Per
whatever.
My last email.
I think that's so funny because
email,
it's like kids do not like. I feel like even for high schoolers, they should know better, but it's still so much harder. That, like, teachers do not live at the school and they are not all in contact with one another. But, like, I can't tell you the amount of times my mom has gone to the grocery store and saw one of her kids and they are just so confused because they're like, teacher out of context.
Mm-hmm.
What
like,
are you doing
she's
in the grocery
alive?
Store? They're like, what are you doing in the grocery store? Don't you stay at the school?
Like, look.
Why do you need groceries?
Maybe if they pay me more. Like,
right.
No, yeah. But yeah, getting the opportunity to bond over generational things like Pokemon with little black boy from Philly has probably been one of the highlights of my entire life. I honestly can say I feel so complete and I feel so whole. They call me Mr. C. And it's funny, Jamal's kids call me
Mr. C.
They be like, Mr. C. Yeah, Mr. C. Yeah, Mr. C. You put my grades in, right? Yeah, Mr. C. The grades not look. I'm like, did you turn your work in? No. But yo, all right, let me get these questions. All right, have you ever played video games with someone younger or older than you, and how was it?
The first introduction to video games for me was with my older brother, and that was a horrible experience.
Oh, no.
He's probably yelling at you. I
told
you to hit square.
Why are you moving the controller? Why are you doing this? Ah, and I'm like, because I'm literally 5.
I have no motor skills. Everything is
like, what the
bad.
Fuck, bro?
Everything is just soup to me.
Like, I think the first game I ever played was my brother. So my mom and my brother used to play video games together, and they would play like Sonic and like Toe Jam and Earl. And when I got old enough, it was already around the time where like they had the car racing ones. So he had like the whole little steering wheel attachment shit. And so I was like, oh, I want to play. And he's like, you're not touching this game. So I was only ever allowed to play Mario and fucking Yoshi. And because it was like such a simple game, I could follow. But when it came to the big leagues and they finally got around to making Grand Theft Auto, I was like, I want to play. And sure enough, he was like, no, you can't touch this game. But my mom was like, let her play. Oh. Of course, I made a big stink. And I was just going off the rails and just shooting any and everybody, stealing cars, doing stupid stuff. He was like, get off my game. And this is why I play Roller Coaster Tycoon, because that was the only game my brother had that he would let me play and was like, you can't fuck this up.
Oh my God. Yo, no, there was this tweet I seen, right? And it was like, yo, like, pick your favorite Smash character from like the original cast. And somebody had chose Luigi. And I'm looking
I always had to play Luigi. I had no choice.
Yeah, you had no
always
choice.
Always had to play Luigi.
Because you was the
when
second.
You the younger
I'm
sibling?
Like, I'm like, yo, you the younger sibling, ain't you? And he was like, how do you know? I'm like, you chose.
And you got
to
ride
Luigi
out. Bro,
over
no
Mario?
Cap. Like,
It's all right.
You knew that you were the younger sibling when you had to play Luigi, and you had to ride out for Luigi like your life depended on. You could not be like, I hate playing Luigi. You had to be like, that's my nigga. Luigi, pull up. We in there. No, deep down, you want to cry because all you want to do is play Mario just one damn time. And niggas be like, nah, you only get Luigi. Go watch that Mario movie. It's hilarious.
I have played video games with people older than me, and with people younger than me, and it's always frustrating because I'm the worst. Like, no matter who I'm playing with, I'm the bad one. Fortnite, not so much. Like, I've gotten better, but let me tell you, these little Gen X kids or Gen Z kids can build fast in Fortnite. Daphne, you have to, I'm gonna send you guys a clip in the group chat after this, but you have to see the videos of these children building forts in Fortnite. It's wild. They're so fast. They're like, and suddenly they're like 100
feet
in
the air.
Listen,
they live on YouTube and for V-Bucks. That's it.
That's really it.
These kids are different. Mm-hmm. Also, speaking of kids, I remember when, like, gaming consoles, like, were becoming a bigger popular thing. Like, you know, the GameCube and shit. Getting your first, like, PS4 and all that other goofy stuff. But, like, our shit was expensive. But you only ever got one, like, every 2 or 3 years. These kids now, they'd be like, 6 months have passed. I need a new Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, I remember when you wanted a game or something like super expensive, your parents used to be like, go out, shovel some snow, go wash some cars, go deliver some papers or shit. When that blizzard hit, I ain't see nan a kid outside ready to shovel my fucking car out. Nope. And I was like, I would have paid a good penny. I was looking for these motherfuckers. I was looking for these motherfuckers. And I'm like, yo, the iPad, the cell phone, the game console. Mm-hmm. I'm like, then the in-app purchases. I'm like, y'all niggas rack up a bill. Why ain't y'all outside shoveling this goddamn snow for $5 or $10? I was really going to give somebody $50 because I did not want to shovel my car out.
Yeah, but I did not want to get home.
I was like, where the fuck these little kids at? And they all in their goddamn house. And I'm just like, see, that couldn't be me. That couldn't be me. I'm like, you better get your ass out there. You want a tablet? You better go get some tablet money. No.
All right, and my last question is, all right, how has video games aided in the advancement of technology? In a good way or in a bad way? Also, do you think that video games are helping people make friends?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they've been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's been as far as aiding in technology, I think they've been on the same kind of, like, the same way movie graphics have gotten better, video graphics have gotten better. The same way story, like, I think videos tell better stories now, I'll say that. Like, they definitely invest more money into, like, their writing team or the people who actually are doing the voiceover work. Where I feel like before it was very much like, oh, this is just something for you to win. And now it's something like we're creating an experience. So I think it's helped technology, but I also feel like it's just been consistent with the times.
Yeah, I agree.
So like when I think of, like making friends through like video games, I think of like, I'm pretty sure you guys don't know this. People used to play Pokemon, like, and we used to Wi-Fi battle with, like, people all across the world. And we post the videos on YouTube, right? And, you know, like, I remember making so many friends through that. Like, so many people that I don't even know what they look like in real life. If they see me on the street, they wouldn't know it was me. But you know what? They did know my trainer character. What was my name? I think my name was like, I used to have good Pokemon names. A lot of times I would use Brendan or, one time it was Bartholomew. Sometimes I use just random names, but yeah, like they knew Bartholomew He was the nigga that like was eating everybody alive. Like I think I made so many connections with people just by like playing Pokemon and just by playing different video games online. And it's cool that like my kids are kind of doing the same thing. The only thing is I worry about them though, 'cause like they'll be like, yeah, we have a group on Discord and we have a group on Reddit, and I'm like, yo, you 12 or 13 years old. You don't know who these people you're talking to online are.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
and it's funny because with me, I feel like I knew everything in the world back then. So like, I knew not to get them people my information and stuff. But still, like, I always worry about like, because like I don't think that it was that those were things that I really had to worry about in like 2010 and 2012. You know what I'm saying? So like, I
Yeah.
always try to like warn them about stuff like that. Like, yo, you can play games with people online, but don't be giving them people your information. Don't be telling people where you live. Don't, no. Those are strangers. And I just hope that like my kids actually listen, because there's so many stories of like, I don't know, like my like I get like real protective over them sometimes. So I just be like, no, yeah, don't be talking to no strange people online.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're way more connected than our generation was. But I think something that would intrigue me as far as like building friendships or stuff like that, is how like older citizens, I'm talking about like 50, 65 plus, how video games affect them, as far as like camaraderie or community. Because like I think back to like in high school, we used to volunteer at nursing homes. And for us, a big thing with them, like they were just so excited that people were there to play games. So it was like, I barely could clunk out half of a song on piano in high school, and they would be like, play some shit. And I'm like,
Okay,
just
chopsticks
clunking it
it
through. Right. And they're like fascinated by it. And I think one of my best experiences had to be finding out that they had a pool table on the second floor. So we were all in the first floor because they had all like the puzzles and the games and stuff. And they would just be like talking to us, chilling, like having regular conversations about what they did. And one of them was just like, yo, y'all know we got a billiards table upstairs? And I was like, is he serious? And so like the two of us who knew how to play billiards and like four old dudes go
God.
upstairs, and literally they like the so one of them was on my team. We literally hustled these people, and I was just like, niggas love playing games. People be thinking like old people just be out here playing shuffleboard and stuff. I was like, the hustle never stops, bro.
Yeah.
So like I think I would be more interested in seeing like how technology actually, or like virtual stuff, like you know, like goggles, simulations,
Oh,
like when you go to the
VR, yeah.
arcades now and like you're playing like the streetcars and stuff. I think I'd be more intrigued on how that impacts older people and how they stay connected to like the rest of the world rather than like young people who literally should be there taking their asses outside building like social emotional development skills. I'm like, if I'm old, shit, I want to sit in my house and play Fortnite. Like, leave me alone.
Okay, I guess it's time to jump into a stars section on the binge bender.
Binge Bender video game edition, because of course I have one, several. So in 2016, the guy I was dating at the time introduced me to this game called Night in the Woods, and it's about a humanoid cat named May Borowski, who dropped out of college and moved back home to Possum Springs to live with her parents. May reconnects with her old friends, old spots around town, and even rejoins her band as a bass player. But May is being haunted by something. She has dreams at night, which are playthrough challenges, and honestly, some of the hardest moments of the game. Now, I could talk about this game forever, but I won't give too much away, but it was well worth the 17 hours I spent playing it this year. I laughed, I cried, I said, hell yeah, when May's journal had an entry with the words F the cops on one of the pages. Night in the Woods is available to play on Xbox One, PS4, PC, Mac, Daphne, and Nintendo
Oh,
Switch.
wonderful.
So, I highly recommend you get it. It's so beautiful. The illustrations are really great. The music is this like very haunting, like melancholic, nostalgic, like Oh, like it get oh, it gives me chills to listen to it, and it kind of makes you want to like have a really good, deep, grieving cry about something that you can't identify. Like that's kind of the whole theme of the game. But yeah, it's really good. Also, May is a lesbian, so that's like a really cool tidbit of representation. The other game I played this winter was called Tell Me Why, which follows siblings Tyler and Allison in their small town of Delos Crossing, Alaska. The story begins with Allison getting ready to pick up her twin brother, Tyler, from a juvenile rehabilitation center, Fireweed, where he had been for 10 years for confessing to killing their mother. Tyler is transgender and had transitioned while at Fireweed. He and Allison return to their childhood home to ready it for sale. While in the home, the twins recount memories and use their twin power that allows them to communicate through their brains and allows the human player to make decisions to advance the gameplay. No spoilers here either, because it is a beautiful story. Like, this is some of the most gorgeous writing, illustrations, characterizations, character growth, character development. And it takes place in Alaska, and like there's a mountain range that you can look at one point. Tyler's sitting with a friend on their dock by the lake, and they're ice fishing, and there's like this mountain range, and the sun is setting, and it's, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. And there's also lots of riddles to solve within the game, which are cool, and different puzzles to solve as well. If you can't play it, because it's only available on Xbox One and PC, I highly recommend you watch the playthrough on YouTube. Tell Me Why won the Game for Impact Award from the Game Awards, quote, for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. I couldn't agree more, and I encourage you all to check it out ASAP. And with that...
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Google it. Absolutely Google it. Like, I want to... We'll put some... We'll put everything in the show notes, and we'll put some of the graphics up for Tell Me Why and also Night in the Woods, because it's just... It's beautiful. And there's so many twists and turns in both of these games, and there is a moment in Tell Me Why where Allison has a panic attack and you have to like regulate her breathing with the controller, and I started freaking out because I was trying to breathe with her but kind of forgetting what to do with my hands all at the same time.
There's another game that's like that, where it's like you have to like constantly like hit certain sequence on your controller to keep them alive,
mm-hmm.
as they're like trying to like recover from their I forget what game that was.
Yeah,
that sounds interesting though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's really good. Y'all should check it out. All right, Daphne, take us home.
Is that it? The end of episode 4 of season 3. Coming up, we are welcoming our first guests of this season.
Woohoo!
Not telling y'all who yet, but we got some things in the works. All right, bye everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Peace out, guys.